I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Do you ever think if you went missing, the photo they'd use of you on the TV?
It's a real worry.
Same, because they don't ever get a good one. It's never a good one.
Although I think there are so many photos that people put of themselves on social media today that nowadays they generally make sure you look good. Yourself looks good with filters and everything. But back in the day, I mean, if you went MIA and they had to use your passport photo or driver's license, I mean, you look like you're a felon straight away, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, here's today's show.
I don't even know what I said then.
I don't think you did either.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
We're back.
We are.
We're back in your ears.
Fresh off another commitment ceremony watching Married at First Sight last night.
Amazing. Okay, so. I
think we can safely say all of Australia rejoiced to see the back of
Inez, Bronson,
Sam and
Lizzie.
Yes. Woo!
They're gone. They're out. Gone. But I have to say, forget the drama makers. The real star of this season's maths is none other than Cyrell.
I mean,
Cyrell. Everyone needs a Cyrell in their life, Sarah. She is amazing.
There's no middle ground with her. She's either angry or she's not. That's it.
Yes.
But there's such attitude and she's so quick with the things that come out of her mouth.
She's passionate.
Mm. And as we go into Monday, I think it's helpful. Maybe you just need a little bit of a Cyrell chewed in your week. This was probably our favourite moment.
The world doesn't revolve around you, Sam. You ain't King Ding-a-ling. Settle the down.
I mean, you ain't no King Ding-a-ling.
And you ain't King Ding-a-ling.
That's right. That needs to enter the modern vernacular of society. So our challenge to you today, this week at some stage, is to just tell someone they ain't no
King Ding-a-ling. I mean, the fact that that was actually said to someone that she was not even in an altercation with, that wasn't her partner that she was saying it to. That was some other poor unsuspecting person. It wasn't a poor unsuspecting person. It was the cheater, Sam. But I love how she just takes it on upon herself. She's right.
What if you turned it around and actually told someone that they were your King Ding-a-ling? Scott?
What is a King Ding-a-ling?
That was really awkward. You then said bye, Dave, at the end of that.
Look, there's been a lot of debate and even outrage across the globe over the past couple of days following comments that the general manager of Muffin Break made. Now, she's noticed that there's been a decline in young people and new graduates approaching her business for unpaid internships. And she lines that up for about the last decade. She's seen a significant drop off. And this is a lady who used to run internship programs.
So at their headquarters.
In Muffin Break headquarters. Mm-hmm. Now, her theory is that social media has given a generation of young people, you know, millennials and Gen Y workers, an inflated view of themselves, leaving them unwilling to work for free. Now, people are spewing about this. I think there's, firstly, one thing. I think a lot of people are confusing internships and work experience with actually working on the front line with the blueberry and white choc muffins and serving them.
Yeah, no, we're talking
in kiosks.
We're talking
the back end of business.
Yes.
Internships and work experience.
Unpaid. And yeah, look, I think it's an interesting one because I really think it comes down to the nature of the arrangement and the parameters that are put in place. There are some companies and businesses and workplaces that do take advantage of what they call work experience, and the people that come through, the students that come through, are given the menial tasks with no ability, no opportunity to really put into practice the skills that they've learned at university or at trade school. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is unjust. But I think that there needs to be a clear definition between the person who's running the program and the person who's willing to step in and go, yep, okay, I'm going to do this unpaid.
Mm. Well, I mean, there were some responses from people who were saying this is outright slavery, expecting people to work for free, and that if graduates approach a business and they're skilled candidates, then it's not out of line to request money and free labour is no longer relevant. And then other people on the side of the Muffin Break general manager were saying the fact that people clearly don't understand what an internship or work experience is proves her point in spades. So I mean, I ask you to cast your mind back, Lise. Did you do unpaid internships or work experience?
I definitely did. And for me, it was about transitioning successfully from university at the time, from study into work. I believe I already had those skills, but I also knew that nobody was going to pay me. And for me, it was invaluable to step into an actual workplace for the first time in my life and see how it felt and how I fit in. Mm-hmm. So for me, that unpaid work arrangement was set in stone. It was a 6-week duration. I was to show up from 9 till 5. It was definitely unpaid, but I knew what I was getting into. I feel for those students who go into these things and there's no end date in sight or their obligations are unclear. I feel that that can go into that unlawful territory where you're just like, just rock up and we don't know how long you're going to be doing this unpaid for. I feel that that's where the danger comes in. But I think kids should suck it up. It's a wonderful opportunity and you should seek it out. It makes you a better candidate down the track, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a girlfriend of mine is wanting to possibly transition across from her current career into interior design and we were talking about it over the weekend and she said, look, I think I'm going to approach some interior designers I follow on Instagram and just ask if I can volunteer my time to help them on some shoots and some styling and get a feel for their business. Now, do I think that's free labor? No. I think it's slavery? No. I think it's transitioning from theory into practice. And I suppose let's open the phones on this. 13 10 60. Should people work for free to get a foot in the door? Is that still a valid concept in this day and age?
Absolutely. I think you're a king ding-a-ling, as Cyril would say, if you don't do unpaid work.
Well, I both did unpaid work back in the day and it was good.
And I think it comes down to the fact that these arrangements need to be mutually beneficial. There's no secret that the employer or that the company will benefit from having someone doing some work unpaid, but also that candidate will benefit. And the thing is, sometimes in these internships, it's a hell of a lot of work for the company to run that program. It means one of your employees is set to looking after that work experience.
Shadowing someone.
That takes a lot of work. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, what do you think about unpaid internships and work?
Kevin, are you there? No, Kevin's not there. Veronica, you're there on 13 10 60.
Hello. Yeah, hi. I absolutely hate it. Like, I'm a student and I'm... Like, for us to be working unpaid, they want us to work 5 days a week and long hours. Like, when are we going to make money? All we can work to earn money is on the weekends.
Yeah, we did it, Veronica. I did it. I was unpaid Monday to Friday and I worked on the weekend. And it sucked. I agree with you. But I came out of it with a huge amount of experience under my belt. I'm not saying...
I know, that's the thing. Like, it's good to have experience. Like, we all know that that's going to come out of it. But no one's going to hire you only on Saturday and Sunday. Like, everyone knows it's, like, double rate or whatever. Like, no one wants people like that anymore. Like, it's either you're in it for the weekdays as well, which is not ideal working days, because everyone likes to earn the money on the weekend.
So if that particular internship or work experience opportunity doesn't work for you, Veronica, would you just go out and find one that does, that is perhaps 2 days a week or 3 days, so you can still get paid work in?
Yeah, and a lot of employers are realising now that it's like slack on uni students. Like, we're trying to make money as well. Like, why make us work so hard without any motivation every day?
So
and they're all like 3 months and stuff like that. Like, it's like we need a little bit of money.
So, Veronica, you're saying that perhaps employees or people running internships should consider that 5 days a week is too hard for students, but maybe a 5 day fortnight internship would be workable?
Something like that, or even don't even pay us the full amount. Like, I'm not asking for $25 an hour, just something little to get us by.
Okay.
All right, Kevin. All right. On 13 10 60, should people work for free to get a foot in the door? What do you think?
Well, at the moment we're actually hiring, and there's a big difference between the university students that I'm actually getting in. I interviewed a young guy just on Friday. He's never worked before. He's never applied for anything, never done any work experience. And he was so woefully underprepared for the experience and for the workplace that it was really shocking. In contrast, the last two university students I have hired have both done work experience. They've done unpaid programs. We actually have an internship program at work ourselves that we partner with UTS, where students come in for 6 months.
And what industry are you in, Kevin?
I run an IT support desk, but right. my company itself is in the building industry, so we produce building products.
Okay, right. And so for you, when you hire uni students who have got previous internship or work experience, to you, what does that say about them as a person?
Well, it tells me that they're actually looking to improve their skills. They're looking to get ahead, and they're trying to differentiate themselves from, you know, the other thousands of university students that come out. I mean, it seems like every second person coming through is doing an IT degree of some sort, right? Obviously, that's the nature of the candidature that we get. But these kids come out of university, if they've not done anything, if there's nothing to actually show me that, you know what, I'm trying to put what I've learned into practice. I'm trying to get experience as to what it means to work a full 40-hour week.
It's their point of difference, isn't it, in the resume pile?
It is.
Yeah.
And look, the kids that come through aren't bad kids. It's just that they're not prepared for it.
Not prepared for the work. Interesting to hear from an employer. Thanks so much, Kevin. Jenny on 131060, what are your thoughts on unpaid work experience?
I'm a teacher and I'm in a leadership position, and I think it's so important for people who are at university to get out in the real world and see if this is what they want to do for the next 4 years of while they're at university. I think it's really important. I do think there's a time frame, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think, you know, it should go on for, you know, extended time, but I think it's really important that, you know, they get out there and see what it's like.
Yeah. So it's also an opportunity for students to figure themselves out.
Yeah.
It, not to look at it as slavery, but also to go, well, is this something I want to do? Yeah. Adam, what do you think about this issue, unpaid internships and work experience?
Yeah. I think it's a bit rough. Personally, if you look at apprentices, they go in there with knowing nothing and they learn on the job and they still get minimum wage, $8 an hour or something like that. I'm not saying give them a full salary, but just something to get by, just buy themselves lunch for the day and, you know, get a bit of coin to do a bit of transport and so forth in the background. Apprentices don't know anything when they're learning, so why is people that are building up hex of $20,000 a year or $30,000 a year expected to be accumulating debt and get nothing in the background as well, while apprentices can actually get paid on the job and their employee pays for their study? I'm not saying they're not forking out anything, but it's still the same concept in the background at the end of the day.
Yeah, are you a tradie, Adam, or are you a uni student?
I was a tradie myself, obviously qualified now. I used to school for the uni students in the background because I had a lot of mates that were doing the internships in the uni at the same time.
And it's hard.
And we're pretty much in the same boat. Yeah, it's pretty hard.
Well, I mean, I think with an apprenticeship too, that's an employer's decision to take on a young person and train them up for 4 years. So I still think that trade apprenticeships are completely different to unpaid internships.
You're saying if the student is seeking out the work experience opportunity and approaching a company or an industry and saying, I'd like to dip my toe in the water and see if I can test my skills, then that company has no obligation to pay. Yeah, I get it.
Well,
interesting chat, guys.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
This past weekend was epic for my husband, Dane, and I. You know when you have those weekends where you are so social, it just takes you by surprise that you still have it in you? Like, I was like, wow, we are still vibrant and vital human beings. We were invited to a wedding on the Thursday night down in a lovely coastal town. Then Saturday, we had a christening, a first birthday party, and a 40th. In one day, guys.
That's very jam-packed. I feel exhausted at the thought.
Also, and not to be forgotten. It was also my husband's birthday. So there was a lot going on for me. Mm-hmm. I had to buy presents out the wazoo.
Yep.
Cards, presents, energy.
And Lise wanted to dress appropriately, so she borrowed all my clothes.
Yeah, thank you for that. I borrowed one dress. Anyway, I get down to the coastal town after missing my husband's birthday entirely. Didn't see him all day, Sarah. Got there at 1:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Missed his birthday anyway. Woke up the next day, went to the wedding. Everything was great. Then I said, I'm going to take you out for your birthday dinner. Do you know what time we went to dinner?
Tell me.
6 p.m.
Okay, that's nice. We're still in the trenches of young children kind of a time slot for dinner.
We were like, stuff it. We're not going to wait for the cool kids. We're hungry now.
Mm.
6 p.m. dinner reservation. It was grand. We were back in bed at the hotel at, would you like to take a guess?
I'm going to say 8:15.
Correct, Scotty. Yes, 8:15. Then I was like, let's see what's on telly. An amazing documentary on gastric bypass. This was for his birthday. This was his birthday night.
I mean, you could have been getting
an amazing.
There are better presents than that.
So we're tucked up in bed at 8:15. We're watching a gastric bypass surgery. And then
That's probably not the gift he thought he'd be getting in a hotel room with you.
I tapped Dane and I was like, isn't this a fascinating story? And this is the reply I got. It was 8:30 at this point.
15 minutes from
15
head on
minutes.
Pillow.
And you know what? Young people listening in burgeoning relationships where it's hot and heavy and all of that, you might be listening going, oh, those poor people.
Thinking, I'm never going to be like that
old. That's the sound of an unhappy man. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not. We were happy as pigs in mud. We woke up fresh as daisies. We were happy. We had slept for 10 hours. This is the sound of marital happiness. It really is.
What I love is that you'd message me that little clip on the weekend saying the sexy weekend's going really well.
Sarah, it was hot.
I don't doubt it. But there's something beautiful about reaching that point in a relationship where you can just be watching something absolutely appalling on television. The other one can
pretend.
Be asleep and you don't have to pretend.
I don't have to pretend that we're hip-hop and happening and out till 11 p.m. No siree.
The fact you said hip-hop and happening.
That's right. That's right.
That's why you people are
so
asleep at 8:30.
Find someone that falls asleep with you at 8:15 and snores the house down. That's my marital advice.
Yesterday I had an opportunity to give my girls an important life lesson. Now, tell me if I'm right or wrong here. I'll set the scene. So I have two daughters. My eldest is nearly 8. My youngest is 5. And they were having a swim in the pool on a Sunday afternoon, pretending to be mermaids, frolicking around while I was scraping leaves out of the pool, which is what I do in 95% of my spare time outside of this radio station. It's a joy. I love a skimmer box. Anyway, side note, they got bored with playing mermaids. And so my eldest said, let's play Marco Polo. Now, my youngest hasn't played Marco Polo. So the rules were explained. Obviously, if you've been living under a rock, the game is played where the person who is the catcher bobs their head up and says, Marco, and the people who are running away or swimming away yell out, Polo.
And importantly, the catcher has their eyes closed.
That's right. Your eyes have to be firmly shut. So when it came time for my youngest to be Marco, she had her eyes shut.
Good girl.
Okay, she was playing by the rules. My eldest, of course, was peeking all over the place. And then my little one said, oh my God, she's got her eyes open, Mum. Her eyes are open. You're meant to have your eyes closed. And I thought, hang on. Like, everyone cheats in Marco Polo. Nobody closes their eyes in Marco Polo. And I was about to say, babes, you've just got to do it. You open your eyes under the water, you see where they are. Then when you pop your head up, your eyes are closed. You're not going to get anywhere in the pool.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't act shocked. Every person cheats in Marco Polo.
I have never.
And I kept my mouth shut about it, but I feel like I'm doing them a disservice by saying play it honourably.
Sarah, I have never cheated in Marco Polo.
I just think that's a lie. Anybody who says they've never cheated are the biggest cheats ever. Bull dust.
No, Scotty, I think you and I know that this Marco Polo tale is in fact the genesis for Sarah's future lying and cheating.
Yeah.
This is not the first time you've lied and cheated cheated in a game.
Do you remember December last year when we played the movie soundtrack game?
Yes, but that was for good radio.
No, that's still somebody that cheats.
No, look.
Sarah cheated in a game where I apparently was winning too many rounds and she was in cahoots with the producer to win it.
Well, I thought it was boring for me to lose all the time. The same way it's very boring in the pool if Polo can never be caught because Marco's got their eyes shut so firmly.
When we used to play Marco Polo with me and all my brothers, and we'd have our mates over, and we'd fill one of those little water guns with pure chlorine.
Oh,
and you're allowed to spray it at whoever was Marco. So if they had their eyes open, that was going to be a problem for them. That's how you play Marco Polo, Sarah.
That's very hardcore. Remind me not to invite you over for a pool party. No, everyone
Sarah,
cheats in Marco Polo.
Them. No, they do not.
If we had more time left and didn't have to go to Brekkie, I'd open the phones and all the cheats of Australia would say, yes, Sarah,
They wouldn't rat on themselves out on national radio the way you just have, you twit.
Aaron, before we go, can you save that break and send it to Sarah's family members?
Yes, please.
Who said, Sarah never cheats.
Yes, send it to her sisters. She has two that have been poorly treated for the last 38 years.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Scotty, speaking of spotos, oh my God. I saw a photo of you tagged on Facebook and your mum was in it. And honestly, that's you in drag. I burst out laughing. I was like, have you seen it?
No, show me immediately.
Oh, my God. I mean, please come along for the ride. By the way, my phone.
The suburb I grew up in Carindale in Brisbane, that would be my drag name, Carindale.
Hang on. Where is she?
I mean, the fact that you know that so quickly worries me. I feel like you've put some thought into it, Scott.
Yeah, it's that game we always used to play. What's your drag name?
How does that go again? It's the first street that you lived in.
Okay, are you ready, Liz? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Mother?
I'm so ready. I was born
ready? Okay.
I've never wanted to see someone.
Aaron, Scott's mum.
And I get it, guys.
If you just,
oh my God,
if you
that's
can
so beautiful.
Just grow your hair to a bob.
Oh my God.
Put a few streaks in it and wear some specs.
Heaven.
I mean, the apple does not fall far from the
God.
Tree.
Amazing.
And there's one of her laughing as well and dead set. I look at that face every morning at 5 a.m. Yeah, look.
Oh my God.
You know you're going to have to post that on the story now.
No, we can't do that.
You can't
your
do
mum
that if
hasn't
your mum.
Given us consent.
Yeah, I give you consent.
No way. We wouldn't do that.
I'm a power of attorney.
But then this is also Scott's dad. He's very similar to his dad too.
He is. It's a real
mix. Wait, this
mix.
Is where... Show me.
It's a real mix.
Show me. This is where it gets brilliant. That's my uncle.
Is it? Okay, well, you look like your uncle.
Yeah, there's a strong...
What
are you doing, Sarah? What kind of FBI freaky agent are you?
Well, I just assumed there was this photo, which was like your nan, your mum.
Sarah,
I thought it was your dad.
Stop mapping out Scott's genealogy.
Your sister?
No, it's my cousin.
Oh, okay. Well, the family resemblance
You know what's going to happen? When Sarah hits her late 60s, early 70s, she's going to be one of those people that maps out the family tree.
Ancestry.com, here I come.
Those family members are
but
the worst.
But also inaccurately.
I love those ads that they do.
I would never send my DNA away like that.
Oh, never.
Nothing would
Sarah would.
Sarah would or Sarah has?
I'm actually nodding.
Sarah uses DNA websites the same way people use psychics. She just has many of them and just whatever results
and
come back and whichever ones
are
better.
That explains
Stop.
It.
Why have we not started a dating app based on people's DNA profiles?
That was in the news.
That was in the news.
I hate this place.
We covered it on the show.
I wasn't listening.
Did we? Not on our show.
Oh, I can't remember.
No, we did, guys. No, that was the pizza dating app. We don't do highbrow genealogy. No, we
did. I looked at it and thought it'd be too good.
He was me. Yeah. He was
in
me.
In the words of Usher, we keep it low, 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 low. I don't actually think Usher's saying that. I think that might have
been. No, that was Little John.
Flo Rida.
He was me thinking I'd come up with a dating app idea. I was King Ding-a-ling.
You ain't King Ding-a-ling.
You ain't King Ding-a-ling.
Damn.
Damn. Don't do that. You ain't King Ding-a-ling.
You're gonna start using that with your kids over the weekend. Over the week,
so true. That's brilliant. Can we meet Cyril? Do we have enough pull? Can you imagine?
Do we have enough pull to meet a reality TV show contestant?
Sarah, I know you'd like to think we do, but the reality is sadly different. I mean, can you imagine the level of cacophony in here with me, you,
and
Sarah?
Cacophony? What's a cacophony?
Oh, in French you say cacophony.
Bullshit.
You do too.
You
find it. Find it.
Oh, in French you said cacophony. Well, you said it in a very Australian accent.
Well, that's because I just wanted to make
it's spelled with an O though, not an A, not cacophony.
Have either of you seen Green Book yet?
Shut up. Can't go to the movies, Scott. Why do you keep rubbing it in our faces?
Why can't you go to the movies?
Sarah, will you explain it to him?
Because we work these ridiculous hours and then we have to sleep.
It's not that. We also have children. They don't allow.
You leave at 6 a.m.
Yeah, and then we can't.
What the hell?
And then we have to take them to school.
And they're out of our hair for 6 hours a day. And then we have no time to see a movie. Making dinner.
We have to make dinner and do the laundry and go take them to get, like, their mouth guards fitted at the dentist for the AFL.
I've got to take the cats to the vet.
I've got a meal plan, okay? Spag, vodka,
honestly,
or a slow cooker.
Green book. Ours is Green Diary.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.